Welcome to the Art Talk podcast, where I tell the stories of art, artists, and interview people in the arts. I am Karin Merks, your host, and I am an artist, art historian, teacher, and mentor. This is episode 81 of Art Talk, and today I have a guest I had on my wish list for a long time, artist Helga Stenzel. Let me introduce you to Helga. She is Siberian born, but lives in the UK, in London. And for a long time, she lived seeing the world black and white, trying to be perfect. And this was inspired by a poem by Vladimir Mayakovsky. Do I pronounce that well?
Mayakovsky, yeah.
Yeah. And what is good, what is bad? We have these in the EU and in the rest of the world too, by the way. Helga definitely found her way in this world by active listening and active looking around without judgment or expectations. Her world is colorful, filled with humor and beauty. And if you feel watched while you enter her website, you're right. But you have to go and look for yourself. So, welcome, Helga.
Hi, Caroline. Thank you so much for having me. It's really a pleasure, and thank you for all the kind words.
Well, it's true. And also being watched. And I had like, what is this? And then I saw it. I'm not going to spill any beans. People need to go and find out themselves. So that poem by Mayakovsky is very moralistic, isn't it? And kind of dark. Is that the way young children are taught how to behave? A bit like Dr. Spock in the Netherlands way back?
Probably not anymore, but I grew up in Soviet Union, so I still have vivid memories of what it was like back then. And yes, we all grew up knowing pretty much the same poems, the same songs, and, you know, it was all uniform. And if something wasn't right, it was deemed to be bad. You know, there wasn't anything in between. And I think it was the philosophy of the country as well, like the political line we had at the time. So if you're not communist, you are wrong. And, you know, it touched other areas of life as well. And I grew up in that environment. And for a very long time, I was obviously trying to be good because, you know, I didn't want to be bad. No child ever wants to be bad. So it took me a very long time to realize that there isn't any rights or wrong. There aren't that many rights or wrongs in the world. No. And there are lots of gray areas. And those areas are not necessarily gray. They can be colorful, you know. So it's not like a, you know, it's not it's not, what's the word I'm looking for? A gradient, this is the word. It's not a gradient from black to white. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, all the colors in between.
Exactly. And let me tell you, on the other side, it's the same. Because if you try to be a communist in other countries, you were doomed to be bad. So, yeah.
I think, this is just what we share as human beings, and I think it also has a lot to do with psychology, and I read a lot about it, and if you don't feel good, you always, like, you know, the first impulse that you have is look for someone to blame for it, and very often there is no one to blame. It's just life, you know. Things don't necessarily always go the way you want them to go, and as an adult, I think it's your responsibility to find ways of dealing with that.
Very much so. But gladly, you found your way in this world with totally stunning work, colorful and with a lot of humor. So how did this specific work came to you? I mean, I've never, ever seen anything like it before. Oh, and it is really stunning. And I met you on the other art fair and I had like, oh my God, this is special. So tell me, how did you come to this?
Sure, bits of my work have been done before by one artist or another. It's just that we don't know about them. I believe that ideas just flowed in the air and I was lucky to grasp it and make it big. I just, put a lot of effort into that particular idea to make it visible. Mm-hmm. At first, I created just one clothesline animal, and now I think I have more than 13. And I think the more I work with the topic, the more visible the idea becomes and the more recognizable it becomes. So now I'm, you know, famous for doing laundry art, even though I wasn't doing it until 3 years ago. So I think it's all about the focus, and it's all about taking something that you find interesting and really working with it and trying to discover more layers about it, trying to add other meanings, look at the same idea from different perspectives. And this is what I truly enjoy. I also really enjoy the fact that it's fabric, it's something very tactile, and it's something very soothing and grounding. And I enjoy editing my work afterwards, like cleaning up dust speckles and all, but I also enjoy creating the animals, like creating those laundry sculptures on the clothesline, making sure that the fabric is hung the way I want it to hang. So it's like a sculpture for me, and it's a lot of tactile work, which I really enjoy.
It is a sculpture, and I really saw these the three bananas that become a duck.
Oh, those ones, yeah, from the food
series. That is so funny.
Thank you. Yeah, it's. I think it's one of my oldest works because I started with food. So by training, I'm a graphic designer, and this is what I was doing. I also worked in advertising for a few years. Then I had my own children's brand, and I did t-shirts and gloves for children for a few years. And then I started, seeing all the little things in our everyday life, which I thought that people who were buying my gloves and t-shirts would also appreciate. And I started posting them on my Instagram in order to lift up their spirits and, you know, to entertain them and to hopefully make them think about regular things a bit differently. And that took off. And over the course of 6 months, I think that part of my Instagram became prominent, and I no longer had to do gloves or t-shirts. I switched to doing art.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you say graphic design, etc. Mm-hmm. But you have a very specific way of seeing form and shape. So let's talk looking, active looking. How does that work for you? Because active looking is incredibly important. And I know, because as you see, I paint portraits, but I have to observe. And the observing brings me to see more than most people do. Because when you do that, you enlarge your own perception.
Absolutely. Right?
So how does that work for you? Because you have, there is something really special with form and shape.
Thank you, Karen. I think it all—it's all about looking without expectations, because very often we have expectations, and when we know what's coming, there is no need to look, right? Because, for example, you're in a supermarket and you see bananas on the shelf. You know they're bananas. What's the point of looking at them? They're just bananas, you know. And you're, you know, just thinking about something, thinking about your dinner or things you did during the day. So you just take those bananas absentmindedly, put them in your basket, done. And I think that if we did it differently, and this is what I do differently, I think for me it's also a way of meditation and a way of really switching my brain from everyday problems and life and really connecting with the world. So I don't say I do it all the time. I'm not always in my artist mode, but what I try to do is I look. So when I shop for bananas, I look at them, you know, I carefully examine every single dot and I examine the stem and I look at those black bits at the end of the bananas, like the tips, what they look like. And sometimes these experiences give me nothing but just a chance to disconnect from what's going on in my head and appreciate my surroundings a bit more. But very often I see something else, like the case with the bananas. I saw little bugs in those end bits, and that became a sculpture a few months later. So it all came from a very small observation, something that is so easy to overlook if we're deep in our thoughts. And I genuinely believe that there is a lot to be inspired by if we look carefully, if we listen carefully, if we're present in general. Like, you know, it is relatable to pretty much every aspect of our life, about our senses, you know, pretty much anything. Not necessarily looking, but as I'm an artist and I'm a very visual person, looking is something that just comes more naturally to me, I think.
Yeah. Well, you're right. And I always said this also, because nowadays, you know, people copy and start coloring in with paint or whatever. They even are in a museum looking through not their own eyes, but through another lens, that of the iPhone, of the phone. And I think, especially for artists, you can only come to what you do when you actively look and when you really start to observe every little detail. And even if nothing comes out of it, doesn't matter, but you use your imagination. So how important do you think that is also for other artists to really actively start observing what they see? And maybe not even specific, but the things around them in their own life, in their studio, whatever.
Yeah, I think observing is very important, but as I mentioned before, maybe it's not for everybody. And I believe that each artist has their own way of seeing things or listening to things. What's most important is being present and being connected to what you're doing, like being in the flow, you know, being there 100% without any distractions. And this is, I think, what's important. And yes, if for someone looking at an art piece through the screen of their phone is a way to connect with that piece better, is a way to, you know, perhaps frame it in a particular way that makes it easier for them to digest, I think it's their right to do so, as long as they're fully present and fully connected with what they're doing. You know, it's, I think for me, creativity is about giving 100% to what you're doing at the moment without any distractions and really immersing yourself in the activity.
Exactly. But that also means that it can take time.
Oh, and absolutely.
So, yeah. And so the illusion of speed is not necessary within that. I mean, if you talk about the bananas, I can actually see that you do that. And it's lovely. I do it just to be in my own mind. But in the end, it can bring something.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
And before you became a full-time artist, you also worked in advertising. You said that, and child clothing, you had your own brand. Have these jobs in any way influenced what you create now?
Oh, absolutely. I still love working with children. I enjoy doing workshops for children. And whenever I have an opportunity to connect with children during my art shows, I never miss a chance. I always connect with them. I find children amazingly open to pretty much anything, curious and inquisitive and beautiful. With regards to advertising, I think it's had a huge impact on the visual language that I use, and especially on my earliest works. You know that in advertising we are very limited in terms of time. So if a passerby hasn't connected with our advert within 3 seconds, we've lost them, because it's all very, very quick. You know, in advertising, you really need to grab people's attention. So we use lots of visual methods to make the work striking and memorable and instant. And if you look at my early work, the colors are quite bright, and there is no unnecessary detail in an image. Everything is crystal clear. You get it, and you get it very quickly. So this is, I think, what I learned from my advertising experience. But now I think I would like to move away from it gradually, because I feel that I would really like to bring more detail into my images and tell longer stories, like stories that would take more than 3 seconds to understand. And I also feel that my audience, my art collectors, are ready for that, that we are all past that stage of a 3 second thing. We're all ready to immerse ourselves into something more interesting and with a lot more layers and detail.
I can imagine that. And it sounds amazing. But if, when I look at, for instance, the zebra is hanging there, I immediately start create my own story. And I have like, it's good that you hang there, because now that lion can't get you. Something like that. You're high up. You only have to pull in your legs if necessary, but something like that. So yeah, I can imagine that children are also